Product Breakfast Club.
Product
Breakfast Club.
Product
Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club. Product.
Hello.
Breakfast Club. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Product Breakfast Club. I'm your host of the Product Breakfast Club, Jake Knapp. I'm in San Francisco.
Hi, I'm Jonathan, and I'm from Berlin, and I'm also hosting this podcast. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
This is the first proper Product Breakfast Club in like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, every time we have one of these episodes, we're like, wow, we're never going to do interviews again. And then we do like 20 interviews. Or you do. Yeah.
I know. I'm addicted. I mentioned it in the last episode. I really love the guests, but I don't enjoy doing the interviews because I can't relax. That's the problem.
It's kind of stressful.
Yeah. It's not like sitting down, let's just sit down and have a chat with like, blah, blah. It's let's sit down and let me try to figure out questions while the audio is shitting itself. And I'm trying to like keep it together and not sound like a dumbass.
By the way, anybody who has listened to that, I don't know which episode number was that you're referring
last
to.
Week, or
last week.
53.
So 53. If you started listening to episode 53 and you were put off by Jonathan's like 6 minute, like really depressed intro where he's like, oh, this episode sucks. Like, you should go past that, like, power through, because it actually is a really good interview.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. I actually started listening to it on the day before yesterday, and I was like, oh, man, like, I don't know if I want to listen to this, because it sounds like it's going to be the worst episode ever. But then today, I picked it up again, and actually, it was fine. So, there's a lesson in there.
Yeah.
You shouldn't apologize, especially before you're going to give a talk, or, like, before you're going to,
just
know,
get up on
something.
Stage and say
just
sorry.
Just do it. Just, like, sorry. Like, people are like, oh, God. Like, you just want to, like, assume it's good, and it's probably better than you think. So, it was good.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
I like that awkward pause. That was a really good one. Now you're apologizing
good.
Again.
Leave that in, Jason. Leave that in.
So, yeah, here's something that I thought was interesting about that. Just a little snippet I was listening to right before I got home from my run was he was talking about how if you're running a company, if you're running a design agency, you have to diversify. Like, you can't just be doing like these big, huge projects because then, like, when it's over, even if it's a great project, like, you'll be scrambling to get the next thing. And he was talking about how conferences for them help to diversify the income stream. So there are these other sort of things coming in. And I was thinking about how true that is for me, kind of running my own business as an individual. I have to find ways to do different things and be thinking about what's going to come sort of next. That was interesting. I also found it fascinating to hear him talk about how he organizes and researches the conferences because I don't suspect that's what's happening most of the time. And I think that's why the Clear Left conferences are so good and why, like, Mind the Product, for example, which we also talked about in our conference podcast a few episodes back, is so good, is that the people putting on those conferences, also this one I was at a couple of weeks ago, Webdagene in Oslo, is really good.
Good old Webdagene.
Webdagene, which I think means web days in Norwegian. I think it's because those organizers are way, way into talks. Like, they're looking at a lot of talks. They're like, they really love it. And you can see they're like really like putting like a lot of passion into putting it on. They're not just sort of filling in the blanks, coloring in the color by numbers. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah. I was actually going to do so two things. One thing about diversifying, just so I don't forget. Everybody, we have a huge announcement.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Jason, if it's possible, can you put just something dramatic? And then when we start the announcement, some fun, silly music. So right now,
and leave in the part where you're describing
the music. Build up.
Yeah. So. The Christmas gift or holiday gift of whatever kind for 2018. Is coming your way.
Are you ready?
It's the most amazing thing. Now, we've talked about new Apple product launches on here.
Yes.
We've been talking about video games, movies.
Forget about the iPad Pro.
Forget about it. The iPad Pro.
Forget about it.
The iPad Pro to your mom. She will punch you if she knows that this is available. If you give, if you give the Apple Watch Series 4
to your mom, she'll punch you again.
She'll punch you again. Harder. This time.
She will beat you.
Here's the thing. John, what is it? I can't even remember what it is.
Don't buy your mother an Apple product. Buy your mother and all of her friends, also at you and all of your friends, the very first limited edition, one of a kind Product Breakfast Club t-shirt.
Whoa!
clapping there for the product breakfast love tea. Seriously, right now at this moment, we don't have a link, so I can't tell you where to go. But if you click the link in the show notes, you will be able to buy a limited edition by Sprint t-shirt, which we're only going to do a single run of for the
buy so you'll be able to Sprint.
Buy shirt by Sprint. So this is a t-shirt that has by Sprint on it, and it's a nice little cute design. It's limited edition, as in we will not do another run of this t-shirt. You'll never see it again once this run is done. We don't actually exactly know the date, the end date, but it's likely, I think, from when you're listening to this podcast until the 15th of December, you can buy it. And then that's it. You will never see this t-shirt again.
Maybe it's there'll be another edition. One that's a different color, but never this one.
It will
one.
Be a different color. Yeah, never this, this one.
A different
we'll
font.
Do a different design if we do another one. Yeah, exactly.
You guys had been starting to talk about this at the office there, right? And I didn't even know about it. You and I were talking about, you were showing me designs right as we were starting the podcast.
Oh, it's cool.
We don't even know. We don't even know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
It might have.
We know it will be good, though.
You know it's going to be good. You know it's going to be good.
Or bad.
And we've talked about, I don't know if we ever will do this, we've talked about changing the name of the podcast at some point.
Never.
This is your chance to lock in the amazing name, Product Breakfast Club, on a t-shirt, commemorative t-shirt.
Yes. Also, since we do not have any Squarespace, they're just holding out.
Yep.
Squarespace never calls us back. So if you want to support this podcast, do please buy as many of these t-shirts as you can. Honestly, I don't even know if it's possible to buy enough t-shirts that it pays for the podcast, but I think it still would be funny for us to see people wearing that. And also, if you get the t-shirt, please send us a picture on Twitter of you wearing it or Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Jake, I need to break up this ad for a second.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was on another podcast. I was on Chris Doe's podcast. He's this designer who has...
Yeah, he was on this podcast.
Yeah, Chrissy! But before that, earlier in the day, I was on a podcast from a girl called...
You were on two podcasts the same day.
Just two in one day.
You are such a big deal.
Dude, I'm trying to get this podcast up to 10,000 listeners. You remember?
It's never going to happen.
But listen to this. You know the way every episode here, I say that my Instagram name is at @jicecream?
Yeah.
So let me just put it to you this way.
Okay.
Have you ever read it any other way?
Jicecream?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Does that give you any... Like, what does that bring to your mind?
Lice. I thought of lice.
Lice. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what happened yesterday. And I know this is a family-friendly show with a lot of swearing.
Oh, it's never family-friendly.
This girl, she came to the office, okay? One of the first questions she asked me on the podcast was, why did my Instagram name, why is it related to semen?
Oh, God.
I was like, wait, what?
I
was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? She was like, Jizz Cream. Jake, she thought my Instagram name was Jizz Cream. And I was like, okay. This is like one person who thinks this. No one else on the planet thinks this. So I posted on Instagram to ask what people thought the name was. Many people thought the same thing.
Wow.
So meaning that many people have been following me for like business and design advice and thinking that my name on Instagram is Jizz Cream. It's so ridiculous.
Did you lose like half your followers when they found out that's not what it means? They were like, oh, just talking about design and stuff. Actually, I'm out. I'm not into this at all.
Oh, it's ice cream? I was like, it's Jay Ice Cream. It's like, okay, maybe you might say Jice Cream, but it's not in any way possible that it could even be the other thing. And it was multiple different nationalities thinking it was that.
I've studied a few languages like a tiny bit, so I don't really speak any language, even English very well, but I think that one of the first words you learn in any language is ice cream, right? Am I wrong about that? Isn't ice cream one of the most important languages?
I thought you were going to say
right? No, I'm not wrong about that. Right? Like if you learn English, isn't one of the first things you learn ice cream? Like it's got to be because if you're traveling to the place, you're going to want some cold, delicious ice cream. Like that's almost a guarantee no matter where you go. How could it be that someone who's following you, no matter what their native language was, if they know enough English to read your stuff, they wouldn't recognize the word ice cream. Like I would recognize the word gelato or actually, I don't know it in German, but I don't even know any German, so it doesn't matter. But like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's weird.
Wow.
I thought she was just fucking with me because I was like, I thought it was a joke, right?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, really, like, why is it? You know, she thought like at 16 years old, I started the Instagram account, called it that.
Right.
My Snapchat name used to be J Daddy Stink. It still is. You can still follow me on Snapchat and it's J Daddy Stink. because I never thought I would use it, and now I'm not using it anymore. But J ice cream was just meant to be the letter J and the word ice cream.
Yeah, that's weird.
Nothing else. Huh. Also, when you were talking about the first thing you learn in another language, I was fully thinking you were going to say the other thing.
Okay, yeah. This is a family show.
So these misunderstandings are building up. This is a family-friendly show. But Jake, that's so funny. Okay, back to the ad.
Back to the ad. People are like, oh God, okay. I don't want this t-shirt.
Yeah, so this t-shirt, this is a t-shirt. That's how you pronounce it, okay? Not some sort of other weird shit. If you're listening to this podcast right now, stop listening to it. Tap on the link in the show notes. Amr, if you wouldn't mind putting this at the very top, all over the place. Buy this t-shirt. Buy t-shirt. Buy Sprint. And you'll be the coolest person on the block when you turn up at a shitty conference with the Vice Sprint t-shirt. Everyone will know you listen to the Product Breakfast Club.
Amr, if you're listening to this point and Jonathan forgot all about the t-shirt, like he hasn't made it yet, go tell, be like,
oh yeah, ask me.
Dude, we need to put the t-shirt out there so it could be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because we can't redo the podcast.
Yeah. Actually, this episode's supposed to come out on Monday. We probably, yeah, the t-shirt.
You just
yeah.
got it.
Well,
yeah.
whatever. There's a t-shirt. Whenever
and
you're listening.
We'll do it. Yeah, just do it.
Yeah. Let's go for the one
yeah,
we just saw
fine.
There.
That right? was totally fine, I think. Yeah. Especially if the dots are full color.
Yeah,
okay.
The full color dots. That's also, by the way, how much effort was put into this t-shirt. Fair enough. We're just telling you straight out that not a huge amount of effort went into it. But it is the only one, and it's limited edition, and it's probably not going to be that expensive. We're basically going to like put whatever price it can be the absolute cheapest.
It also looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. Like,
yeah, I think
I wanted
so.
You to make it look dumb, but you were like, actually, it would be yeah. cool if people could wear it, and it would be kind of an inside
yeah.
joke. So. It's good.
Yeah, cool. Okay, that's it. So, Jake, I have a topic for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
I've been playing Red Dead Redemption nonstop for the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so you're going to have to do some breaking down for me because I don't know that much
yeah.
about what's going on.
It's a big deal.
But I did hear I subscribed to this newsletter by Austin Kleon, his newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
I would highly recommend his newsletter. It is excellent. If you're interested in creative pursuits of any kind.
By Sprint.
Every week, by Sprint. Every week he shares like 10 links of things he found that were sort of like inspiring to him. And he's an
wow.
artsy dude, you know. And,
how
like,
original.
He has, yeah, very original. Yeah, but it's like arty stuff. It's more arty stuff and less, it's going to be less like tech geeky stuff, which is normally what I would say.
Okay.
Like he never talks about anything technology related pretty much. And he was like, oh, I just got Red Dead Redemption. I'm totally going to play it when my wife is out of town. So I actually, that's the only way that I knew about it because I saw the link and I like went to look at what it was. And he's like, he said it was the best like Western movie or thing like in ever or something.
Yeah.
It was like to him comparable to watching a Western. And we could also tie this conversation in because I just watched season one of Westworld on a trip that
oh.
I took. That's a thing that I do know about. I don't know anything about this video game, but maybe we could have a conversation where you describe... Red Dead Redemption 2.
You try to compare it
yeah,
to Westworld.
And I try to compare it to something that I've seen.
Okay.
Let's see how that goes.
You should pretend that when I say Red Dead Redemption 2, that I'm talking about Westworld so that you can just agree with me and say,
oh, yeah, that part.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that part where they.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Red Dead Redemption 2, it took 8 years to make. It's the biggest budget video game of all time.
How big?
Over 1,000 people worked on it. I don't know the actual number right now, but it's just the biggest budget video game of all time.
I'm going to look it up while you talk
because
I'm not really going to listen to you.
8 years in the making. Like, okay, so I play a little bit of video games. I definitely check out all the new famous ones. I've never played a video game like this in my entire life with this much detail. Like, it's unbelievable. It's actually shocking. I'm speechless, Jake. I'm actually speechless about how unbelievable it is. So when you play a game, usually, every time I play a game anyway, I'm like, oh, wow, this is really cool. But, you know, it's a game. And, you know, I've seen things like this before. And like the new Zelda on the Switch or whatever, it's like, okay, yeah, this is really amazing. It's definitely, I definitely understand why everyone gave it 10 out of 10. Red Dead Redemption 2 is like a game that just came from space and like has just been doing its completely own thing. Like the detail level, every single thing about it, the polish is just unbelievable. I can't even, like, I'm just shocked. I'm shocked when I'm playing it.
What do you
it.
Mean?
I'm completely
like, because
shocked.
It looks so real? Because what?
It's the insane amount of detail that's in every centimeter of the world that they created is just shocking.
So it's a Western thing, right? Like, I wasn't wrong about the Westworld that comparison.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
Westworld.
It's a Western-themed okay. open world. You're kind of traveling through the wilderness. Like, it's not like a... video game where you're kind of warping from one place to the next. You're
you
actually
can't even
like
warping it. God,
I mean, not off. Like you can in Westworld.
You just have to walk to a place. You're like, well, I guess I'll go to El Paso.
You
now
do
and
actually.
Your character's walking for like 2 months. Yeah,
for days. You actually do often have like 15 to 20 minute horse rides while talking to someone. It's like a very slow,
wow,
very relaxed, very nice, ridiculous game. I can't even talk about it. It's just amazing. I'm sure
How many hours have you spent on it so far, approximately? And what percent do you think you are into the game?
I think I probably played about 25 hours. And the game tells me that I'm 23%
wow
through.
Wow. That's a lot of your life. Red Dead Redemption is
it's
sucking
amazing
away there. That's amazing.
You know what? I don't agree with that. I think that a lot of other parts of like, let's say you have to waste your time. Like if I have to
wait,
waste my time.
Wait, the whole premise is nuts.
No. So wait a second. Maybe you're the guy who wrote Make Time, but most people, especially people who don't have kids, like we do have a lot of time to do stupid shit. Like there's so much time in the day, even running a business. What am I going to do? I can read. I can go to the gym. I can do all this stuff.
No, you're right. No, you're right. No, there should be downtime. There always should be downtime.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of poking fun at you a bit. Like, there totally should be downtime. And I do think that video games can be very good downtime if you can sort of walk away.
Totally.
Like, the question is, like, if 100 hours by the time it's done starts to eat into other stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and it's hard. Like, when something is really, really good, like I even felt with Westworld, which actually was like good, but I thought not like amazing. I was like, well, I have to finish. It gives you this, like a video game. And also, I just got the Nintendo Switch. We were talking about this a little bit.
Oh!
When you get a video game, like you get into it, it gives you these sorts of like jobs to do. Like, here's your to-do list. Like, I have a fake to-do list. And it's like sort of more satisfying to get the to-do list done in the game because like when you kill somebody, like the controller vibrates and like they explode. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And it's like, it doesn't require usually the same agonizing battle with that I would need to write something or like,
yeah,
but it's the same thing, right? It's like fake to-dos. So there's a danger that the downtime creeps into like taking away some of your motivation to do other stuff. But I mean, I'm not like saying that's your situation, but 100 hours is a lot. It would be challenging for that unless you really spaced it out to not start to eat in to other stuff. But you don't think it does?
No, I wish it could. I wish I could. Like for me, I have the opposite problem. I usually can't force myself to play games as long as I should because games actually make me very relaxed. Like if I'm watching the usual downtime thing, which is maybe reading or looking at bullshit on the internet or even like watching a kind of silly TV show if there's nothing good on, those things I can still think about like 10 other things while those are happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's not real downtime for me.
I agree
with
you.
Whereas like playing a video game mostly for me makes me feel very satisfied at the end. I don't feel like I wasted time. I feel like, oh, I'm so glad I like took that time out for myself and really switched off and like really immersed myself. And especially something like Red Dead 2 or the Zelda game for the Switch, these are games you can completely immerse yourself into and you really feel like you're in the world after a while. And for me, this is something that's more beneficial to my brain than after like fucking around on the internet for 2 hours, reading news articles and watching stupid YouTube videos and hearing about Donald Trump for 2 hours, you just feel dirty and you just, oh, like, how did I end up doing that? I watched like random reviews of a sock or something like that. But after playing Red Dead Redemption 2 for 3 hours, I'm like, oh, that was great. Like, just felt so good.
A game doesn't necessarily like Swiss cheese your attention or kind of raise this frequency where you just feel like you're just like vibrating with like your attention's bouncing around because your attention is on one thing. The tension I'm feeling right now with the video games is that when I play, I do feel like that afterwards. I feel like rested in a good way. But I also then am like, does it steal away any of my like creativity? Like sometimes it's good to just be bored and like not have a good option for a thing to do because if I'm trying to like write fiction or something, like I need my brain to like come up with the stuff on its own. And I feel my brain starting to be like, when I get bored, like, well, it would be really relaxing and kind of like super enjoyable to satisfy my creativity by seeing what somebody else created in super high def, you know, it's like, and experiencing that, like why make it up? Which is an interesting tension. I want to find a place for video games in my time, in my like weeks, because they've got to be, if they're not the best, they're definitely like right near the top of like filmmaking or storytelling that's going on today anywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now they are.
Not all of them, right? But like, sounds like this one is.
Unbelievable. It's actually shocking. I'm still like, every time I pick it up and I'm horsing around, literally on a horse, whatever you call it, riding around a horse, riding around a horse for an hour, like hunting, like all this, like it's just such a ridiculously good game. Although the funny thing is, you know, all this realism, I had to turn it off yesterday because my character got stuck in a bucket. Like he was walking and his leg just got stuck on a bucket and I couldn't do anything about it. And I'm hoping, I turned it off now, I'm hoping when I turn it back on, he's before that point happened.
Oh man, I hope that like you worked on it for 25 hours. Your guy just has like, a bucket on his leg.
He's still stuck in a bucket. Like he can't move forward. He's trapped in a bucket. His right leg is trapped in a bucket and it's like, brrr. So yeah, pretty immersive, just like in real life.
I looked it up, by the way. They estimate the budget was between $80 and $100 million. And no, nobody tried to step on that bucket.
Exactly. I'm pretty trapped.
You know, this is the whole thing with like, to bring it to Westworld. With Westworld, they're like, if you haven't seen it, and I know it came out like 8 years ago, but if you haven't seen it, Westworld, the premise is they make this theme park, it's in the future, or maybe it's going on now, who knows? Maybe in Red Dead Redemption, you're just controlling one of the robots in Westworld, and it's happening right now. You ever think about that, John? Whoa.
No. Okay. Because they were making Red Dead Redemption like when I was born.
At the start then. So in Westworld, like as a theme park, you can go there. It's all Western themed. Everybody's like a cowboy. Everybody's a robot, except there's people who go as guests. And you can like, there's no laws. You can like shoot people or whatever. And like they're robots, so they repair them. And then of course, what happens when you make super intelligent robots? Well, they become self-aware and then they try to break out. This is like,
what?
Every science fiction thing, right? With robots, they get super intelligent and then they try to break out. Don't you think that when the time comes when we're making an AI that like is that close, that's even like partly close, don't you think that people are going to be like, remember Westworld? Remember Ex Machina? Remember 2001? I think that this might be become super intelligent. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't set up a theme park where they have guns.
That's what the bucket is for.
Yeah, that's what the bucket's for. It's to make sure that things don't stop go too far. Or the bucket is an example of how dumb we are as people making stuff. We will always make a mistake, and the AI is going to get us. In the end, it's going to get us.
It's fine, whatever. We had a good run. I mean,
we did.
I guess a lot of people are worried about stuff, then I'm just like, I just don't care. Elon Musk is like, in 50 years, there's going to be AI that's going to destroy. Yeah, maybe, but then how cool is that going to be? Like, come on. Also, it's so much better than flooding or something.
Also, if you were worried about it, like, what would you do? Like, if Jonathan Courtney was like super like,
who cares?
Like, what would you do? We could make a different t-shirt. Like,
bucket.
Buy AI.
Yeah, exactly. We are literally doing this stupid podcast and making a t-shirt that says buy Sprint on it. We're the last people who are going to help you out in this apocalypse.
Except remember when we had that episode when we talked about if a future AI, because after we talked to Tim Urban, if an AI came back to punish us because we were against it.
They'd never punish
us.
It would
be really in our best interest right now, since this is being recorded for posterity, to talk about how like we're totally cool with AIs. Like it would be totally fine if an AI wants to take over. Hey, that's fine. If you're building an AI right now, don't worry about it. Just build one. Hey, if it turns evil and takes over, no big deal. Remember, AI, don't come back in time and kill us because we were totally cool with you all along.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with an AI destroying the Earth. Do it.
I was on the bus yesterday and I was looking around at what we were all doing, all the humans on the bus.
Yeah.
You know, like this guy on his phone looking at like Instagram and I don't know, like the news and Tinder and like people just talking on the phone about dumb stuff. And I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter.
Let it
bring
end.
It in. Come on. Yeah. AI, bring it on. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
This is what this podcast is about. Oh, so welcome to the Product
Breakfast
Club.
Welcome to the Product Breakfast Club.
This is a podcast about product design, innovation, and design processes. Generally the tech world, and mostly none of that.
Oh, yeah. Mostly just rambling. Mostly rambling.
You know what?
This has been an intro.
This is the intro. Jason, that was the intro. I hope Product Breakfast Club theme has been playing for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
No, please don't do that. It was a joke. Don't do it. So, Jake, you know what? Every Monday morning, I'll show you because it's actually very nice. And because you're not on Instagram, you don't see this. Mm. Long story short, people post, you know, it's Monday morning. I used to hate it. But since the Product Breakfast Club came out, I'm always looking forward to Monday mornings now. How cute is that?
Well, did you say that or a person said that? Another person?
No. People say things like that every day.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Every Monday morning. Let's pick one out here. People have to wait for this. This is so bad. So here's one. Monday well spent.
Oh, that's nice. How to well start Monday.
Don't. Shh.
No, don't say that. Oh, should Jason cut that out? I don't know.
No, yet. It's good. Leave it. Here we go. This is cute. This is from the headbanger teacher. It says, Monday ritual. Bitch about it being Monday. Get up early. Bitch a bit more because I hate mornings. Go to the gym. Pissed as fuck. Jesus.
Wow.
Then turn of events. I listen to PBC and get happy.
Ah, oh, man. That's great because that person was probably dangerous before.
Exactly. Like actually a murderer. But we saved the headbanger teacher. Thanks so much for writing that. We really appreciate it. No, but it's really cute. Like every Monday morning, I get a ton of messages. Basically, it's not me getting messages, but it's people posting about the podcast. I'm sniffing around catching those messages, you know?
Well, that's cool. That's good to hear, you know? I mean, it's also, how surprising is it? Because this is actually what we're doing. Right now, we're just like talking about people talking about the podcast. This is a terrible
people
podcast.
Fun.
Come, yeah.
I just said people fun.
Do you think people who people listen to fun, this podcast Jake? Know that there are other podcasts like in the same app?
Nah.
That there's like a million choices? I think it's amazing. Thank you for listening to this. You have
people
so
fun,
many
Jake.
Choices. People fun. People fun.
People just fun.
Fun.
People fun.
People fun.
I have an actual topic that I think we could talk about.
Okay.
So it's always the thing. I bring it up on my Instagram thing first to see how people react to it. But this one got a lot of reactions.
Isn't it great that I'm not on Instagram so you can like talk about it there in total privacy for me? You can be like, guys, what do you think I should say about Jake? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, Jake's a piece of shit. Oh my God, you know what? Actually, maybe I should answer these questions I put up a while ago. Oh shit, I have like 32 questions, you know, for the mailbox.
Oh yeah, lightning round. 32 questions.
Lightning round.
In 3 minutes.
Okay, let's have a look here. These are all the questions here.
Okay.
Okay.
Every time I see your handle now, I'm like reading it the other way.
Cheese cream. Okay, so jamesslew.is, probably it's jizzslew. Can we get an urgent update on what your favorite emoji is, please?
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, Jason, maybe before this section started, can you put like a mailbox sound? Mailbox. Cha-ching. I don't know.
It's the product breakfast club. Mailbox.
Okay. James Slew asks, can we get an urgent update on what your favorite emoji is, please? It's been 6 months since we last heard anything about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
What are you feeling at the moment?
I'm going to check my frequently used emojis so that this could be up to date.
Yeah, me too. Here, squirt is still pretty high up for me.
I had a sort of roller coaster on the hedgehog because I talked about it in the episode. Afterwards, I was like really second guessing myself, you know, and there's all these new ones coming out. But because people have used it like in messages and stuff to me, I am kind of like coming back on it. So I would definitely say hedgehog is still up there. Squirt is up there for me again because squirt has really become the icon for the product breakfast club.
I like the monkey that's looking off to the side as if it's after doing something dirty. Look, this one here. The little monkey here, look.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really cued into that one before.
It looks like it's done something filthy.
Yeah, I mean, and with a monkey, it could be the options are really pretty limitless.
Really
for
disgraceful.
For what might have happened.
Yeah.
I have to say that, like, if you look at my frequently used emoji compared to yours, mine are, like, way less interesting than yours. Yours are, like, I can tell you have a really good sense of humor. Mine are not that interesting.
Fox.
I have the brontosaurus. I kind of do. I do like the brontosaurus. I do like the elves. The elves are always going to be...
The elves are very funny, though.
The elves are really good.
I like this bowing guy here. Look at this bowing guy.
Oh.
I think he's bowing.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Well, he has lines coming out of his head. I think he's, like, pretty
crawling.
Unhappy. He's kind of like, ugh. Like, head down on desk, maybe? That's sort of... looks like a kid, right?
I feel like he's bowing, like, for forgiveness.
Oh,
bowing for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'll go to the next question.
Okay. That was not a lightning round, was it? I could still keep going.
Yeah.
I'm just like scrolling through the emojis.
This is great.
We have been using the Animojis a lot, though. You and I have been doing some Animojis back and forth.
True.
Because we all have the iPhone 10s.
You have the 10S. How is it?
Dude, it was not worth it. It's the same. I got the bigger one, and it's like, I can't even remember that it's the bigger one. It's don't get the big one. If you're on the fence, it's fine, but like, it's not worth it. It's the same.
Well, let's go for another one.
Okay.
What books do you guys read on how to build great networks? I assume this doesn't mean like IT networks, but like business networks.
Actually, that's the way I'm going to answer it.
Yeah.
Ethernet for dummies.
We want to talk about LAN. Do you have any answer to that? Because I don't think I've ever read a book on building networks.
I haven't. It's probably a good idea.
How would you build a network?
With a network effect. Like, tell one person, then be like, hey, tell two more people. I don't know.
Okay, let's go to the next question. Zab GLZ asks, why is the industry so messed up and how can a junior navigate through it?
It's probably messed up because you are junior, so you're getting the worst of it. Mm. Like, you're getting like the work you have to do at your job might not be the most fun. The job opportunities might not be that great. That would be my guess. Like, I'm not sure the industry is that messed up.
What industry?
I remember that's true.
The oil industry?
The oil industry is messed up.
The oil cast.
But do you think, John, do you think like if you're a designer, do you think it feels like it's messed up, like the design industry?
I gotta say, no, I don't think it is.
I think it's true that in design, at least when I was a junior, when I was starting my career, like I felt like I was not well prepared for it.
Yeah.
I had not studied design in school, but really like kind of almost nobody had. People who had were studying like graphic design. This is a long time ago.
Mm.
But people who were already doing it in offices, like they knew how to do it. And I don't know, there were like mentors there. I felt like if I sought out mentors, like the work I was doing myself might not be that exciting, but I can learn pretty quickly by seeking out mentors. And that's probably true no matter what industry you're talking about. You're going to have less interesting stuff to do. Seek out mentors.
Yeah.
Don't expect it to be.
Don't expect to like get paid really well at the start and have loads of really good opportunities at the start. Yeah. It just isn't like that.
And there's a lot of like selection bias with things you see probably on social media or in any kind of like press about the people who are wild successes, who are total outliers, and don't worry about that or obsess about it. Of course, we're taking all this from a one sentence question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows what the context is? All right.
Okay. So Nathan Marshall, the Nathan Marshall asks, where do you both see yourselves in 20 years time? Go on, Jake. Where do you see yourselves in 20 years' time?
Oh.
20.
20 years. I'll be 41. So, actually, that's not true. I'm 41 now. I would be 61. So,
hello, kids.
Been doing this work for like 20 years. So, you know what? That is actually not the way I operate at all.
Neither do I. But answer it just for fun.
Oh, okay.
Best case.
So, I'm like, I live in kind of a rural, like a remote setting. I have this kind of a treehouse.
Oh yeah.
So there's like, it's not all in the forest, but there are enough trees where I can have a treehouse.
Okay.
It's really like a bitchin' treehouse. Like, it's not like kind of rustic.
Oh yeah.
Or Ewok style. Like, when you get in there, you're like, oh, this is like a cool house. I forgot it was in trees.
There's a toilet in there.
Until you look out. There's a toilet and stuff. And then you look out, but there's other stuff too. And then you look out of the windows and you're like, oh, but the view is amazing because we're up in these trees. Look at those mountains. I probably have a dog and my family's there too. And I'm sick. It's 20 years from now. So I probably have like grandkids.
Oh, so cute.
So cute. And then I have like a zip line from the treehouse that goes all the way to New York City.
Whoa. You must be really close to New York then in that treehouse.
No, that's the thing though. That's the thing, because 20 years from now, there's space elevators.
Oh, okay.
And the zip line goes up to space. Mm. You got to put on a helmet if you're going to use it.
Yeah.
It goes up to space and then it can go anywhere. And so far, because I haven't like set up everything in 20 years, I only have the zip line to New York.
Okay.
From like treehouse to space to New York. But I'm working on building zip lines to other places so I can go to other places via zip line. And then I probably also am eating like some really good sandwiches.
Oh.
Yeah. Like future sandwiches. Like, they have new kinds of deli meat that are like grown in a lab.
Oh, cool.
They're still really good and they're even better than the deli meat we have now. Okay, what about you, John?
Cool. I mean, it's a very small slice of your life there, but so.
Yeah, that was just a few minutes of my life.
It was just a few minutes.
Year 2038.
Yeah, that's cool. It's probably the same for you, but I genuinely, I'm being honest now when I say I don't know what my life will be like in 6 months. So the 20 year thing is obviously completely insane. And this obviously won't be true. So 20 years, the fun thing about 20 years, it does allow you to kind of go crazy and think about it. So in 20 years, I will be running a indie video game company.
Ooh.
Ajane Smart is kind of running or doing its thing. It's a successful thing and I don't have to run it.
It's probably like the dominant company in the world. It's like the Tyrell Corporation.
IDEO is destroyed. Like, we buy IDEO.
Oh, you buy Exxon. Like,
yeah,
you guys
buy
own
Exxon.
Everything.
We buy Elon Musk. We buy Apple. So I'm just off to the side. Also, no scandals have happened, even though I'm the world's richest man. I'm such a good person. You know, like, if you're the world's richest person, then always someone will put out an article about how you were an asshole to them.
But not you.
Not me. Not me.
And everybody is like, you know what? Actually, like, the only news articles are like, headline, actually, his Twitter handle is J Ice Cream.
Yeah.
Perverts. Perverts. Yeah, exactly. Stop talking about anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the press is saying.
So I'm probably also living more in the wilderness. I have a really cool fast car that can get me into the city underground.
Oh, you're kind of old school.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like, you're like, I'm not doing those space elevator zip lines.
I'm not taking a zip line to space.
I'm taking a sports car in a tunnel.
I'm taking a sports car in a hole. I'll probably have like, oh yeah, like 20 years from now, I'm going to be 50, exactly 50. Hopefully I'm jacked because, you know, I have so much time just to work on my body.
Well, you definitely will be.
Work on my body.
You might be like the man in black on Westworld, though. Oh. You might just be trapped in a real life Red Dead Redemption.
I hope so.
But you would be super jacked in that scenario.
Heavily jacked.
Because you'd be in that bucket just doing like push-ups and squats.
Trapped in the bucket so much that my leg becomes
in
highly
a real life
jacked.
Bucket.
Like, it's this huge leg. I will have a huge leg. Yeah, I don't know. 50 years time, man. Or 20 years time is just too much. I don't have a fucking clue.
Plus, actually, the wild card we forgot to even mention is...
The AI.
Super intelligent AI. Yep. So all these things we described, we think they're happening, but they'll be happening in a simulation because humans will have been destroyed and it'll just be a little fun video game for the AI.
And the AI will get me trapped in a bucket.
Yeah.
So yeah, great answer.
Good time, so it's going to be good.
Great answer,
it's
Jonathan and Jake.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Yeah, great answer. Lightning, very fast.
Great, really, fast really fast. Answer. Jacob Tunney asks, what is some good advice you've learned recently on product marketing?
Ooh, recent learnings. Well, I'll tell you one thing recently I learned.
On product marketing, Jake, not generally.
On product marketing. Yeah, no, it's going to be about product marketing. Because I recently launched a product book called Make Time. And I do not think that Make Time
by Sprint
launched very well by Sprint. By Make Time too. I think it's a very good book. I should think so. I spent a long time working on it.
It is good.
And I've heard some really good things from the people who have read it, but we have not sold nearly as many copies of that book as we hoped. It really has been a very quiet, which is sort of the nice way of saying kind of a sad launch for it. You know, it's done all right. Like, I think if I hadn't written a book before, I would probably feel okay about it. But the launch is not like Sprint. And in fact, I had hoped that it would sell more copies than Sprint because it's something that isn't as complicated to use. You know, an individual can do these things on their own. But what I'm realizing now, having done it, sometimes you can only learn by doing the thing, by actually failing a bit.
Yeah.
Is that I look at what we're up against with that book, what that book competes with. There's not a clear enough message about how it's different. There's not something that I can instantly understand. It's very hard for us to explain to somebody in the press, for example, like, what is the angle about this book? And we found that, like, if somebody listens to a podcast of us, like me or my co-author, John Zaratsky, talking about the book, like, we'll see a bump in sales. If people who actually sit down and read 200 pages of the book, they're like, take something away from it and it changes what they're doing in their lives. But you can't summarize, it's very nuanced, and we don't have a great way of summarizing what's different about it because we're less intense than everybody else. Every other thing out there is more intense. And the whole story about, like, we're on our phones too much or there's distraction has already been really told in a super aggressive, like, anti-tech way. I think ours is more constructive and useful, but it's too nuanced. I feel like one thing I learned about product marketing, and it's funny because I thought we were doing this already. I thought we did have a better, clearer message around it, but I think I would push myself even harder to have an even better, crisper message about what is this thing? Even if you know the value is going to be nuanced, it's like, what is the core message? And you have to have that before the thing comes out, possibly before you even make the thing. You've got to do the marketing first. And that's something, I guess, is something I've been saying a lot when I'm working with people on products. But I believe it now in a way because I just kind of screwed it up.
Yeah.
And so I take that lesson very much to heart right now.
So everything you just said there reaches back into how we've been doing product marketing in AJ and Smart. We launched a new product yesterday, or at least we launched a test of a new product yesterday. The entire point of yesterday was to not build a product, and like we did with the masterclass, was to try to sell it up front, like months before it actually exists at all. And the goal really is to get people to pay for it and pay quite a high price, just so that we can tighten basically the kind of offer that we're creating for people. So we're going to be doing multiple days of tests, and each day we're hoping to get a higher conversion rate because it's actually all phone sales for this next product. I'm going to be talking about it more.
You mean you're calling people on the phone, not that you're selling phones?
We're not selling phones. So basically this new product is a kind of a little bit more about how to, it's a mixture of like a bit of a coaching thing with me and some videos on how to build an agency. And we didn't really know if anyone wanted that. We knew we couldn't sell it like kind of how we're selling the masterclass, sort of like a completely automated, just like see an ad, then buy it. And we wanted to charge like between 5,000 and 9,000 euro for each license of it because it's me personally coaching people and I don't want to be like doing that for a low amount of money.
Yeah.
We literally have zero videos. We have zero things set up. And yeah, yesterday we spent the entire day on the phone to people trying to sell it. And we're hoping by the end of Wednesday that if we get a conversion rate of 50%, then we're going to actually make the thing. So for me, the theory behind the sprint where you're trying to figure out, you know, I mean, you wrote the book Sprint, I guess. And a big part of that is really a lot of it is to do with the marketing of the product before it ever exists and trying to show people, you know, the features, trying to get a feeling from people if it's something they might want to buy. And for both the masterclass and this new course or this new thing that I'm working on, we really just did the sprint, built the landing pages using the, you know, exact days that are working in the sprint. And then the Thursday, which for us was Monday yesterday, because we started on Wednesday, is just a full day of user test, but where we try to actually get them to buy it. I don't know how that can refer back to your book, but for us, it meant that we had a full script on how to sell it, that we kept changing, kept refining, and kept focusing it down till it was like a strong message. By the end of the day, the people were like really nodding a lot more and a lot more excited about it. At the start of the day, the product was way too broad. We were offering like everything basically. And at the end of the day, we were like, the focus is on sales. And then everyone's like, cool, I want it. I think a lot of people think the product is extremely important, and it is, because, you know, Apple talks, you know, everyone looks at Apple and they're like, Apple has the best products, yeah, or they have the worst products. Like, you're never competing just on pure quality. You're also competing on the marketing aspect of it. And I think Make Time is a fantastic book. And I think you should re-release it and just have a different angle.
Yeah.
Make 10 minutes. Call it Make 10 Minutes.
You know, one thing that I was thinking as you were talking was, I mean, I was just thinking about something totally different because I was bored.
You were like, how do I get out of this podcast?
No, actually, I was just looking back at the waveform for this episode. I've been talking so much in this episode. Sorry about that, everybody. That was the first time there was even like a gap for you to say a word without me being like,
it's rare.
But what I was thinking while you were talking was, you know, you are really good at sales. I think sales is also something that's comfortable for you.
Ah, definitely. I like it.
I assume your team is good at it too. Something that you've been doing
sprint
forever, since you were a kid, you were selling stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually think that I may have deluded myself a bit while working on Make Time, that I was doing the things I would tell someone else to do in terms of testing it, but they were things that are more comfortable for me to do and may not be as high pressure. Like, talking to someone one-on-one is uncomfortable for many people, including me. It's not my like center of gravity to like cold call somebody and try to sell them on something.
It's awkward.
It's comfortable for me to post something on Medium and see if it performs or not, and to maybe to have a lot of posts not perform so well. And then when one does well, say, okay, people dig that, we'll include that in the book, right? And we had done that actually over a period of years, but we also specifically targeted some things as the book was coming out.
Mm.
It's comfortable for me to share the beginning, the intro of the book with people in the newsletter, and did that, had a lot of test readers testing both the whole book and the intro to the book. And I think I convinced myself that because I had done that, or we had done those kinds of tests, that we were testing it, that we were sort of simulating the launch. But I think it's actually, like, looking back on it, if I was trying to look through my Jason Fried lens, right, I think those are the kinds of tests that, they, while helpful, they definitely were. They were super helpful. All those things made the book much better. I was looking away from the thing which might have been more interesting, which is trying to sell the book before we even started, like trying to have that conversation. And actually, it makes me wonder, I don't know if we can figure this out like on the episode, but it would be really interesting to see like how could we, I'm writing this sci-fi book right now, but I'm very in the early stages of it. How could we like do a sprint on the book before it's even done? And I actually think that the book, I'll throw another idea out there. This is just random, like in the episode, we probably won't really do this, but this is a conversation between me and you. So this is the kind of thing I would say if we were just talking. There's a video game inside the book.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking it would be cool to actually build the video game as like a thing that you can do with the book. Like you can also play the game. So we should like somehow test out like the marketing for this book before I write it. And even test out like part of the game or something.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to try to sell the book before you write the book to see if that, does that make it better? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'll just be straight out for anyone who bought the masterclass. We knew that we could make the masterclass good. I didn't have any doubt about it. I didn't know if we would be able to sell it, as in at the scale we've been able to sell it to now. And so for me, with anything, you're probably going to be able to write a sci-fi book that people like, but how will that stand out from everything else? What are the kind of little things you can do to make that thing stand out? And I think there, you just get, 1,000 people to work on it for 8 years and you got a video game. That's what I'd say. And then someone gets stuck in a bucket and writes a bad review and then you're fucked.
This is going to be 8-bit video game though. Like one of those little freebies that you download onto the Switch kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, I want to work on video games. I want to work on video games next year.
That's why I'm like planting this idea for you that you can make a video game for me.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, if we can find a way that doesn't make me lose loads of money, let's do it.
No, it's going to make you lose loads of money for sure. For sure.
Tons.
The budget for billions. This, even though it's 8-bit, the budget is $100 million. But you have to front that. You're going to front that. And maybe you'll make it back.
Yeah, no problem, man. By the way, if anyone's listening to this podcast and they develop video games, especially if you're an indie video game developer, you can help both me and Jake right now. I am looking to invest in people making video games next year, as in I'm looking for people who want to make video games but can't find enough money to do it and already have like a prototype of something. And maybe this person can also help you or help us to help you next year as well, you know?
You're just looking for people to give money to?
Yeah, I want to invest in video games next. This is obviously, it's not just me being altruistic. Number one, I love video games.
No, it's because you're a big roller.
I'm a high roller! And I also bought that domain name while we were in New York for my video game investing company, remember?
I didn't know it was going to be a video game investing company, though.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was going to be. I just wanted to tie that domain
name. At the
time, you
were like, I'm
going to
make a t-shirt company.
Yeah, t-shirt.com. I was thinking, for the limited edition t-shirts that everyone's going to buy, I did a little bit of math on it to see how many t-shirts we'd have to sell. My goal was, if we can like break even with the editing costs, Jason, I love you, but obviously you charge us. How about we do it for free? No, but I was trying to think about how many t-shirts we'd have to sell to make up for the editing costs, and it's many thousands of t-shirts. So probably that's not what the goal is, but maybe we can make up for December. The main thing I think is it will be really cool when someone walks up to you, Jake, on the street and they're wearing a Bisprint t-shirt.
Yeah, that will make it all worthwhile. That will be worth.
Yeah, and then you can take a selfie with them and post it on MSN Messenger or whatever you still use.
That's what I use. Yeah, I use MSN Messenger. Anybody's on MSN Messenger, hit me up.
Yeah, I'm hit me up. At JizK. Oh God, Jake. By the way, if anyone's noticing, I feel a little bit out of it right now.
Will you not apologize? Stop it. Just
no, but I want to tell. I want to tell something cool. I want to tell something cool. All right. So I'm a bit out of it, but it was because I had such a cool day. I have to tell you, we had one of the biggest video game companies in the world at our office today. They flew all the way over here. They were really, really nice, really cool. I got to get
Atari?
A glimpse.
It was Atari, wasn't it?
Atari is so dead, you wouldn't believe it. They're like sold their IP and just loads of companies are calling themselves Atari at the moment because they bought the IP for like certain amounts of time. It's really sad.
Oh, so they can just switch around and be different Ataris? Like you could buy Atari for like a week and be like, hey, we're Atari this week.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's cool. Literally that's what's weird. Happened. There's this Kickstarter to bring out one of the Atari consoles and like shit has really hit the fan and like people are really angry because it's just this random company that bought the... I mean, Nokia. Nokia is one of those things as well that a Chinese company bought the brand Nokia and made these Nokia 3210s or whatever. Like it wasn't Nokia making that at all.
That's so weird. But it was because now they're Nokia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they just owned the brand name.
So you had Atari at your office, and then they walked in, and you were like,
"Yeah,
you're not Atari. You guys are. It's
you're the
DMC.
Guy who runs the coffee
Run
shop.
Run DMC bought the Atari name for this week. What's up, guys?
Yeah, Run DMC.
Yeah.
So it was Coldplay, actually. It was Coldplay who bought the Atari.
Yeah, right. It's like, you guys are Coldplay. They're like, actually, we're Atari. We're making some video games.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, but Chris Martin, what are we doing here? And he was like, we need to make video games. And I was like, cool. So what sort of video game? What's the plan? And he was like, maybe I'll just go make a new Coldplay album.
What kind of game do you want to make? I don't know that much about Coldplay.
Chris Martin.
So this is all on you.
I think he'd probably try to make, like, Coldplay is all about trying to be cool. Like, whenever they have a new album, their goal is to try to seem really cool.
Yeah.
For example, this year or last year's album was all about this sort of the Holi Festival, the Indian Holi Festival was their sort of art direction, you know, all the exploding paint.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, and the year before it was like graffiti, and the year, like, they're just trying to be cool. So, whatever the new cool thing is, so it's probably going to be like Animojis or something like that. So, it's going to be a game where you are a poo emoji and you're hunting down elves, male elves. But really horribly, though, like really horribly. But I don't really know how you play it. I mean, we're working on that game now. So, by the way, the video game company, we're not working on a game for them. We're working on helping with their like processes internally.
Well, that's
using
cool.
The design sprint. That was like something like a 7-hour long workshop right there. So I think, like, I'm not apologizing. I have a good kind of calm vibe. But I think if people listen to this and it's their first time, I want them to know it's usually louder.
Yeah, you're usually screaming almost the entire time. This is one of the only episodes you'll be able to understand.
To listen to.
It's usually me talking, Jonathan screaming.
I love that there's such a big break between. There's such a big break between you and I doing episodes at the moment that every time we do an episode together, they are so pointless. Like, like people like them.
Right. Like when we do a few in a row, we finally are like, oh, let's talk about this topic.
Yeah. Let's talk about something. But the funny thing is I always give the episode a name as if it is about something. Two or three episodes ago, I named it, Is Being Lazy Smart or Can You Be Smart or whatever? And that only happened in the last like 1 minute. That conversation.
That puts a lot of pressure on us right now because we're coming up on, we should close off. Yeah.
Yeah. What should we end with? What should we end with?
Oh,
let's have a look. I can ask another question from the list here. I actually have a lot of topics. For example, I don't know if we want to talk about this today and I don't know if we can end with it. I think that some people, well, a lot of people don't realize what facial expression they have when they're in certain situations and it actually hurts them professionally.
Interesting. I was recently watching some videos of myself where I do this facial expression sometimes. What I mean to be is just like attentive and serious. I have a crooked front tooth. I have a lot of crooked teeth, but this one in particular is crooked in a way that when I do that face, it casts a shadow over all my teeth except that one. So it just looks like I have this one tooth with like, thong, like right out the front. And I look like a moron when I'm doing it. And I'm trying to look smart.
That is so good.
I'm trying to look the opposite of a guy with one tooth sticking out of the front of his mouth. And yet the result is, what is that guy's problem? I looked at myself and I was like, wow, I remember I was trying to look so smart at that moment because I knew it was a video. And I just look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I bet that stuff's going on all the time. For me, it's probably going on for other people too.
The thing is, if you're extrovert and loud and you generally allow people to give you feedback all the time, people will tell it to you. So for example, I was on a panel at a conference last year and Venla, my employee afterwards, she was like, you need to work on your listening face. And I was like, what do you mean? And then she was like, you look like you're bored out of your mind when you're listening to people. And I was like, fuck, yeah, that's actually probably true. And I watched back the video and it looks like I'm bored. It looks like I'm about to fall asleep. And also, I don't want to lie, but there was some moments where I didn't want to be, whatever. Anyway, but I wasn't trying to look like that.
Yeah.
I was trying to control it. And I think I'm a kind of person who has like, I try to be friendly to people and I try to like, whatever. A lot of people, the first impression, of course, they're like, when you get to know them, then it's fine. But the first impression might be, wow, that person is really like angry or a really lazy person or a really sleepy person or a really blah person or a really this. Like, you know, there's this resting bitchy face is kind of like a thing you say about people. Like if a guy just looks really grumpy all the time.
Yeah.
But it's just a resting.
Just a resting face.
Tim at our company, Tim has a very like, angry resting face. So you would think,
yeah,
this guy wants to kill me. Like this one.
Right. I was a bit freaked out by Tim until we talked, because also he's often quiet.
Yeah.
And so if you see, he looks very serious. And then if you don't get the chance to talk to him, until you get the chance to talk to him, you'd be like, that guy's trouble.
Yeah. You would think either like he's arrogant or he's very angry at me right now. And sometimes I forget, like when we were traveling this time, I met him in Portland and I was like, God, Tim, hey, how's it going, man? Hey. Because I don't understand it, right? And I'm like, oh, something's wrong. I've done something wrong. So I was talking about this to Kit because we had a client within the last 2 weeks where I was just like, God, like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like, I really can't, no matter what I do, she really hates this. And it turns out she loved it. She really had a great time. But it was like, she was like, oh yeah, loads of people tell me that that's my facial expression. And so I was talking to Kit about this and I was like, isn't that like something that it would be good if people told other people about?
Yeah.
Because then you'd be able to do something about it. But he had another angle and he said he read, like, one of the best books he's ever read his entire life is a book called Quiet. And it's about the introversion, extroversion scale and all the myths and all the kind of interesting things you can learn about it. And he told me I should read this book and it's going to like tell me everything I need to know about this entire world of... Basically, I'm going to read that book. That's the outcome.
That's good.
Is that enough to give this a good title?
Yeah, I think so.
How to control your face.
How to control your face. I think that this could be, you know how they made Google Glass and they didn't really think about how anybody was going to use it?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I think that's kind of what happened. It would be a good use case for Google Glass if you could wear that and it was like doing nonstop face scan.
Yeah.
And it like wrote in like red text, like
you look
Terminator
grumpy.
Style. You look like a jerk. You look like a jerk. You look like a jerk. Oh, you're smiling. Good. Okay. Good. You look cool. Oh, you look like a jerk again. Like, just so you knew all the time, like how it looked from the outside. Or it could just be like Oculus. You could have the headset and then the headset is like a camera on you, but then it would only be your mouth.
Yeah.
So
I think it's an important thing though. Like Kit's angle was don't tell people that they're making facial expressions that might be hurting them professionally because maybe it's not actually. Maybe I just think that because I'm an extreme extrovert. But then again, on the other hand, I thought it was good that someone told me that my listening face was very... Also in the videos for the masterclass, Brittany told me, because she also knows I can take it. She was like, in the bits where you're not talking and D is talking, you look like a weirdo. Like, and I'm like, ah, shit, yeah, I actually do. Like, I watch it back and I'm like, okay, so what? So I'm like, what should I do? Like, and she's like, just look to D, like nod sometimes. And people will find it strange if they're watching it. That's such good information. I'm glad I have it. But I'm going to read this book before I start doing that to people because I think some people might be angry if they are heavily introverted because I just don't understand introversion. And this is a book that apparently helps you to understand that.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't know. I have nothing to say. I don't have anything
product
to say.
Product breakfast. Hey, Jake.
Actually,
buy
maybe,
Sprint.
Buy Sprint. I think maybe buy Sprint.
I think we should end this.
Maybe people fun. By Sprint.
People fun. Can you please remember people fun? Hey, everybody, listen up. It's likely Monday morning when you're listening to this, although probably no one gets to the end of these long episodes.
Yeah, it's probably...
People fun.
People fun.
People fun.
Don't forget that. You'll need that message this whole week.
Yeah.
That's going to make your...
Jake, you know, you want to know something really important?
Yeah. Okay.
The names of these episodes... are so important for people listening to them or not listening to them.
Oh, man.
The Andy Budd episode, I thought I'd given it a clickbaity title.
Yeah.
It didn't do as well as the last few episodes just because I didn't think of a snappy enough name. It still did pretty good. Like, it's over 4,000 listens right now. With the episode that you just recorded coming up, I think we got a good name for it.
We got a good one.
Yeah, I think we got a good name. Yeah. But this one, what are we going
to
call it?
Ooh.
Something like,
you know, the best
snappy.
Way to come up with a good name is come up with a few and then like pick the one that's the snappiest.
I don't do that. I just choose one.
I can't remember all the things we talked about. Jonathan is a pervert would be a good one.
People would listen to that. People would definitely.
Yeah, I think people would definitely listen.
Just the word jizz. Let's choose something like how to control your face.
How to control your face. Yeah,
even though we didn't give any advice.
That's good. How to control your face. Stuck in a bucket.
Oh, the bucket. Trapped in a bucket. Jonathan is trapped in a bucket. Or how to control your face. I think how to control your face is probably better because it sounds more clickbaity.
Stuck in a bucket is kind of not that. It's actually not that
how
good.
How to control your face while stuck in a bucket.
What else did we talk about? I can't even remember.
It's a bit of a daze for me as well. I'm a bit out of it. So it
could be an hour of nothing. That could be the headline. 1 hour of nothing.
That's the name of this podcast, man.
Yeah. I don't think that would get a lot of...
No.
Lot of...
Did you interview the person, Julie? Juliet?
Oh, not yet. Her book comes out in March, so we might want to run that one closer to when people can get the book. But
okay.
I have a plan to do like a little sneaky like snippet interview.
Okay.
And then maybe we can sneak it in. It requires a lot of technical things to happen, so I won't... Let's not promise that.
No, I'm just... That's why I just said Julie. No one knows who that is.
Yeah. It could be anybody. It could be any Julie.
Yeah.
Or Julie could be our code name for somebody who has a totally different name. Elon Musk.
Jason Fried, by the way, I know he's not going to listen to this, so I'm just going to say it. He was supposed to come on the podcast this week, but I lost him.
Yeah. He's a slippery one.
Yeah, I'll get him back. Chris Doe also forgot who I was. I was on his podcast yesterday, but he definitely forgot who I was, which is totally fine. I mean, some people get like a bit indignant about that kind of stuff. And like, I'm just going to let it cool down for a while. I don't want to send him like a passive aggressive reminder email or something. Jason! Please, Jason. Please.
I would love it if Jason Fried like listened to this whole episode.
He listened to the other one. He actually commented on parts of it. So, and that was ridiculous.
That's pretty, if nothing else, at least this podcast wastes Jason Fried's time, which is very hard to do.
Hell yeah. Did you listen to the one where I read out the chapter of his book and I just was an insane person?
It took you so long to turn the pages. I love that part. It was like, I could like hear you like licking your fingers like, and then the page turns. It's like, Deckard Cain and Diablo. You were just so slow and creaky. It was great.
Oh, we could talk about Diablo. Okay, everybody. Jake, where can people find you online?
People can find me online at the easy to understand name, jakenap.com. No confusion there. That's where you can find me most easily. John, where can people find you?
You can find me at J Ice Cream on Instagram.
I will look for you there. Let's sing it out.
Wait, one thing. Buy the t-shirt. Buy the t-shirt in the show notes.
Buy t-shirt, buy sprint. Buy show t-shirt. Notes.
Buy show notes.
Product Breakfast Club. It was a fun episode. We're dancing on Skype. Nobody can see it but us.
Oh, Jason, can you leave this in and not put the song? You know, and like now put the song.
Now put the song. Okay.
Product Breakfast Club. Scooby-Doo-Bop-Bop-Bop-Bop-Bop-Scooby-Doo-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop-Doop